Hi, Josh. Welcome to Executive Peaks.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Josh, do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
Oh, yes. People who follow me know that I do my burpee-based calisthenics every morning and evening, and it consists of roughly 27, three sets of nine burpees, followed by some stretching, a little bit of weightlifting, and breathing exercises. And I do something similar every evening as well. And I've done this for at least 10 years. It's grown. It started at just 10 burpees a day, but I keep building on it.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
Great question. The first thing that comes to mind is that, when I say it's going to sound trivial, but business is about people. And when I say business, I don't just mean cash transactions. Just interacting, it's about people and their emotions, their beliefs, much more than just transactional interactions.
What is the best constructive guidance you've given to someone?
I got to give that advice more, but I'm not very good at giving that particular advice. But I think my leadership course, the really core part of leading others is learning the social and emotional skills to build the skills, experiences, and beliefs to behave and communicate in ways so that others feel comfortable sharing their vulnerabilities and you feel comfortable sharing your vulnerabilities with others. It takes time. It's not easy to learn social emotional skills, but that's the advice, is to learn them.
Do you have any hidden talents?
I don't have to, and I'll tell you something, that lately I'm doing something that I wish I'd done when I was a child or any time earlier, but I'm learning to sing, and I'm not particularly talented at it, but I'm practicing and I'm getting better. And the personal discovery in expressing myself and starting to hear expression in others through music is just wonderful. So it's almost the opposite of a talent because I don't have it, but I'm learning.
Is there any genre that you're focusing on?
Well, sustainability leadership, and I want to distinguish, it's not just sustainability, it's not just here's what to do, but recognizing people's beliefs and emotions and the stories we tell ourselves, our role models around the environment and sustainability. We don't have any role models, and this is my main focus, is if that's a genre. It's focusing on the inner struggle people face and the joy that they get when they start acting on their values.
Josh, what is the most courageous thing you've done in the last year?
Just under a year ago, it's like 360 days ago, I swam across the Hudson River for the second time and did it with a friend. And it's about 1 kilometer across. And we just did it, no life raft or anything like that.
Oh, wow. So, in aspect of time, how long did it take?
I'd say we were in the water about an hour. I didn't have a waterproof watch with me, and I didn't bring my phone with me, so it was something like an hour. And I turned 50 in less than a month. So, and I'm not a swimmer. I just went and we just did it. It was great. It was I always look for ways that we can do things that, how to put it? Some people jump out of airplanes. Some people base jump or bungee jump or. Yeah, that's kind of cool, but it's passive. It's not active. It's not you doing it yourself, me doing it myself. And this is totally free. Every city, most cities have some sort of body of water. And everything I do, there's always accessibility. That's why the burpees, body weight exercises that require no equipment, no trainer, not really even that much time. It's very important to me that I'm not doing stuff that just about anyone in the world can't do something very similar to.
Well, happy birthday, Josh.
Or early birthday. It's the 20th, so I don't know when this goes out, but
Okay.
that's just under 3 weeks from now.
What is the biggest misconception about you?
Greatest misconception about me. I think there's a lot of things people seem to think that I'm born with that I put a lot of work into, and it really annoys me when they say that, like, you're born with this, you're born with that. I've worked hard to develop, you know, here's a big one. It's that when I do all my exercises and stick with things for a long time, they say I'm very disciplined. And, oh, if only I had that discipline, I could do those things. But they have it backwards. I have very little discipline innate, as far as I can tell. I have discipline because I do those things. It's almost as if they looked at Arnold Schwarzenegger and said, oh, you were born so big and strong. That's why you get to go to the gym. But it's the other way around. He goes to the gym, and that's what got him big and strong. So I do all these things that develop discipline, and therefore I have it. I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. I ate a lot of chips and ice cream, that even saying to myself, don't do it. Now
that
I don't.
Sounds like me once upon a time. Speaking of food, Josh, what is your favorite comfort food?
Well, my famous no-packaging vegan stews are my go-to food. Any fruit that's, I mean, I eat local in season. I, you know, almost exclusively shop at farmers markets and in the bulk food section. So when something comes in season, I'm usually seeing it for the first time in 10 or 11 months. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go with the, I know around here where I can forage berries. And Juneberries are just coming out of season. Mulberries are in season. And I rode my bike out to the Rockaways a couple weeks ago. And I found a ton of mulberry trees. Yesterday, I rode my bike 50 miles round trip just to eat some mulberries fresh off the tree. Totally worth it. I got home. I looked online, it said it was 94 degrees out when I was riding. It was about an hour out, an hour there, and an hour back. I don't know if other people would consider riding 50 miles to pick mulberries comfort, but to me, I will pick mulberries over something shipped in from some other country or across the country any day. I just love the full experience of, I mean, I think that's how we evolved. We would pick berries and get food all around us. Now we have to go far from it because I live in a city without a whole lot of stuff near me. But stuff I pick myself, I love the most.
Please finish this sentence. Leadership is?
Helping people do what they wanted to do before you came on the picture but couldn't figure out how. So it's not getting them to do something they didn't want to do. It's usually something they want to do, but just haven't figured out how. And if they knew, they wouldn't need a leader. But something's stopping them. And so it's helping them do what they wanted to do, but haven't figured out how.
Josh, do you have any pet peeves?
I got a lot of them around the environment. When someone says, what I do doesn't matter, which is a profound statement. What I do doesn't matter. If you really think about it, what I do doesn't matter is one of the deepest things you could say and profoundly sad. But also only governments and corporations can make a difference, or it's a burden, it's a chore, it's a sacrifice, it's a burden. That's not, they think they're describing reality when they say that, but they're describing a system of beliefs that they grew up in, or when they say, oh, an old person saying, oh, the next generation, they'll fix our problems. That's someone saying, not me, not now, someone else, some other time. And every generation has said that about the next generation. And they're just raising that generation to grow up, and one day they'll say, oh, I'm so idealistic as a child, but I have to be realistic as an adult, and we really can't, I can't help but fly. I can't help but turn on the air conditioner 24/7 from May until September. When of course they can. And what they don't realize is how much of a joy it will be that, I mean, when I've made changes to my life to live by my environmental values, at the beginning I thought it was going to be deprivation, sacrifice, and burden and chore, taking one for the team. But now I've come to see it brings joy, freedom, fun, connection, community, meaning, and purpose every single time. And when I lead others, it's the same for them too. It's just people, that's my pet peeve, is people expecting, like, oh, if I don't fly, then I'm never going to see my mom again. I'll get fired from my job. I'll end up in the poorhouse. It's just a story they're telling themselves.
What is the best career decision you ever made?
There's a few things come to mind. I mean, you know, I have a PhD in physics, but I left academia to start my first company. And entrepreneurship opened up a whole new world for me. That's a top candidate. Business school, I got lucky that I found leadership classes in business school, and I didn't know that I would find them. But it was after business school, here it is, when a friend of mine is the principal of a project-based learning school, when I learned project-based learning, active experiential learning, and started teaching that way, and coaching that way, it's so much out there. It's just giving facts and figures. It's the equivalent. Like, if you want to learn to lead, if you want to learn to play piano, you got to put your fingers on the keyboard. You can learn all the music appreciation and music history that you want. That's not going to help you actually play. You can read about leaders. You can read and write papers. You can watch TED Talks all day. But you got to practice. And learning project-based experiential learning, how to teach that, how to coach that, that's what's changed everything for me. There's like a big shift in my life. Before that, life was about what can I do for myself. After that, it was how can I serve others. And it came through that.
Josh, what is the last thing you do before calling it a day?
I'm trying to think of the past few nights. I mean, I'd like to say my calisthenics, but that's not the last thing I usually do. I don't think I have a really last thing I do. I mean, I just get in bed. I don't think I have something there. For a while, I set an alarm to go to sleep, but it didn't change much, so I took that back off. Yeah, I don't have a last thing of the day. Well, I'll tell you one thing. No screen goes into the bed. I mean, on rare occasions, if I want to watch a movie, but no internet in bed, the cell phone's on the other side of the room. Everything that's important.
Are there any initiatives that you host or causes you support?
Well, the big one is my podcast, the Leadership, it was called the Leadership in the Environment podcast, but we changed the name to This Sustainable Life, which is we bring leaders from lots of different areas, from government, politics, sports, business, artists and culture. And because there's so little leadership in the area of the environment and sustainability, we bring leaders to the field so that they can so people in the environment can learn these things and have role models. I walk each guest through a process where they share their environmental values and choose something to act on. Then I have them on a second time to share how the experience was. Sometimes it's really hard. I'm not presenting some Disney version of like, oh, it's easy, just do this and everything's done. Sometimes it's a challenge, but most of the time they come back and say, I wish I'd done this before. I didn't realize when I act, not because someone told me to go without straws or forego meat, but because I'm acting on a value that was there. And then it's meaningful and purposeful. And I believe that by working with world-renowned leaders and creating role models among them, where right now there's zero, that people can, you know, if we're the average of the five people around us or five people we consider role models, then someday when I have Oprah on my podcast and she walks through this process and she shares, I wish I'd done this earlier. Now that I've acted on my values, I'm going to keep doing this. 10 million people will be 20% of the way there. And I think this is going to be, I believe it will augment other people sharing facts and figures and doom and gloom and instruction and here's 10 things you can do for the environment. But I think the podcast addresses an unmet need for role models and examples that I think people crave, knowing I'm not the only one doing this. Someone else wants to do it. Someone else is doing it too. That's the big one. Before I did the podcast, I looked around to find people doing something like that, and I couldn't find it. I would rather have helped others than start from scratch, but I started from scratch.
And finally, Josh, what do you do and where can people contact you?
The podcast is a big piece of it. I have a lot of one-on-one coaching clients. Increasingly, my bread and butter is coaching straight leadership, business leadership. And increasingly, I'm getting people who want to do sustainability leadership, environmental leadership. They want to be CSOs, chief sustainability officers, things like that. So, and I'm working on book number 3. It looks like I'll be closing on a contract pretty soon. And this one will be on sustainability leadership. So podcast, coaching, and writing.
Thank you for joining us on ExecuTeaks, Josh.
Thank you.